And if you would, turn to page 140 of your purple liturgy book to the epistle reading for the third Sunday of Lent. It's a pretty long reading. I'm going to be focusing on the first third of it. The context of that letter is not important for the message today, so we won't spend any time on that. And there's three basic points that Paul is telling the people he was writing to and through the ages telling us Christians. He says, keep the faith that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The second point is our high priest is sympathetic. And the third point is ask him for grace with confidence. So line by line, he starts, brethren, since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest. He offered himself, priests offer gifts to God, offer sacrifice. He offered himself as the sacrifice to God the Father on our behalf. In this, he was both the priest and the gift, the one who offers and the one offered. He has direct access to God, the Father, since he ascended into heaven, as we know, and sits at his right hand. He mediates for us to God the Father for the forgiveness of our sins. His work as high priest results in our eternal salvation. Then Paul says, let us hold fast our confession. What does that mean? Let's hold on to our confession of faith, the creed, which encapsulates the doctrines regarding the Holy Trinity and our salvation. Let's hold on to and practice this faith. If we don't, there will be repercussions. Back when Moses led the Hebrew people out of Egypt, many of them lost faith in the wilderness. They did not trust God. They did not believe that they were being led to a promised land where they would find rest. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They forsook God and worshiped a golden calf. The result was that these folks did not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. The promise was good and real, but those who did not believe and obey did not receive it. If you remember your Bible story, for 40 years, God made them walk in the desert without actually entering the promised land until that whole generation died, and only their kids and grandkids who had not disbelieved when, you know, they had seen so many miracles, they were the ones that got it. Likewise, for us, the promise of eternal life in Christ is good, it is real, but we have to believe it and obey the teachings of Christ if we want to receive it. Then Paul says, for we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, a double negative, okay? Not and un. But we have a high priest who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Don't be put off by the fact that Jesus, our high priest, is the Son of God. Don't think that because he is so great and so high that he is out of touch and unapproachable. He became man, human, like us. He experienced the same blameless passions as we do, namely hunger, thirst, sleep, fatigue, pain, and the like, which are part and parcel of our human nature. He experienced them even in the extreme, and he did not use them as occasions for sin. To be clear, he did not partake in any of those misuses of those blameless passions, and he did not partake in the passions of anger, pride, envy, promiscuity, hatred, and the like. So Jesus, our high priest, has experienced our hardships and troubles and weaknesses. He is therefore able to sympathize with us. And then Paul says, let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's saying, go to the throne of grace by means of repentance to receive mercy that is, forgiveness of sins, and to find grace, the uncreated energy of God, to help in time of need, namely the time of this present life, to help you to keep the commandments of Christ and to attain ever higher levels of divine virtue. The throne of grace is accessible now, during this life. But if you don't approach now through repentance, then you will face, we will face, the throne of judgment, where God will reward each according to what they have done. The liturgical relevance of reading this passage today is not so obvious because we call it the Veneration of the Cross Day. Day of the Veneration, no longer Flower Day, just Veneration of the Cross Day. But this isn't speaking about the cross so much, although if you think of Christ as our high priest and the sacrifice, it has to do with the cross. But it's here because of the same reason we place the veneration of the cross. This is the third Sunday of Lent. We are at the midpoint. We're up here now. You know, it's all downhill from now on. So here we don't want to lose our zeal, and the church says, go to the throne of grace. He's saying this is the third Sunday of Lent, the midpoint. This passage contains two exhortations. Keep the faith and let's approach the throne of grace with confidence. In this way, we will get the help, not only to continue and finish Lent and all that it entails, but also to reap the full benefit, which is nothing less than eternal life with God. Let's stand and pray now.